Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. In this podcast series, I share with you the formula for creating a meaningful life by using my life stories and experiences that have shaped me. Some good, some bad. I talk you through some of the practical ways to find purpose and fulfillment. It is a weekly series, so do subscribe so as not to miss out on anything. My hope is you too can start creating a meaningful life for yourself. In this episode, I explore the concept of being vulnerable. I like to call it being emotion-full. Everyone has vulnerabilities, emotions, and personality components for good or bad. By hiding those vulnerabilities, we are essentially denying a major part of our personalities. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. My vulnerability gave me confidence to share my truth. I was working with a client just the other day in a one-to-one session. I met him in a lovely cafe in the Surrey countryside. Yep, it was before our last lockdown here in the UK. It was September 2020. We always met there. It's equidistant between our two businesses. There was a brilliant winter sunshine and we ordered lunch and sat at a large country kitchen table in comfy armchairs. Ah, this is how to do business. I was helping him get to grips with his purpose and then use that as a mission statement to live by. There I was sitting there eating and Andrew turned around and said, "How did you come upon your purpose?" And I was thinking, what's important to you? I found myself being quite open, more so than I would normally. I'm not saying I wouldn't be open, but I was quite vulnerable in a way, and that vulnerability brought about a deeper connection and understanding. And I know we all know this and know how to do this, but it struck me in that moment. I can't control everything. Sometimes I must let it go and just let it happen. Sometimes I just need to breathe, relax, and have faith that things will work out. I'm very good at getting distracted or distracting myself, deflecting. And that's what I was going to do with Andrew, but I stopped myself in that moment. It had such a powerful effect on him. We all need to be open to share parts of ourselves. How else can we fully live? When Andrew asked that question, I thought, how much do I share here? What degree of self-disclosure should there be? What might happen to the dynamic of our relationship? Will sharing be useful for him? For me? Going with my gut, I began to talk to him about how I discovered my truth, my purpose, and put a plan together to speak it and live it, to live and create a more meaningful life for myself. A huge part of my discovery was going to places mentally and emotionally that were challenging. And in fact, in my 7-step program of finding purpose and creating a meaningful life, I ask a question that is about looking at your life challenges and really opening up to yourself about your life challenges. Because within those life challenges are your strengths and your capabilities. So I began to share. My emotions were unbridled. I've never really had the gift of temperance. I never want to have perfunctory conversations anyway. Andrew sat there listening. I was astounded by my openness and his keenness to hear my story. I'm not saying I hadn't been open with him before, but it was the degree of openness that surprised me. Sharing my experience made me feel vulnerable. My vulnerability allowed us to connect on a deeper level, which can lead to a fuller understanding. And in a work or life environment, it leads to a greater connection. In a work environment, it can lead to increased collaboration, productivity, and cohesiveness. What do you think about when you hear the word vulnerability? For many people, the term is linked to negativity, such as software weaknesses or personal mistakes or professional danger, or in a personal relationship, being over emotional. But embracing vulnerability is actually crucial in a work environment. I showed Andrew the vulnerable Dion, a side of me not many see. We spent the time creating a deeper connection that changed our relationship. Andrew and I understood each other better that day. And in 20 minutes, our business relationship had moved to another plane. This gave Andrew the confidence to share his stories, which we both agreed formed the backbone of his purpose. My vulnerability gave me confidence to share my truth, my purpose, who I am, my authenticity, my true self. And when we share in this way, oxytocin is released in the brain. This feeds that feel-good feeling you get when you've done a good job, or you've achieved a goal, or you've eaten chocolate for that matter. A deeper sense of trust is developed, and our relationship changes. Everyone has vulnerabilities, emotions, and personal components for good or bad. By hiding their vulnerabilities, we're essentially denying a major part of our personalities. Being vulnerable means taking a risk, which can be daunting for any employee to do or any person to do in a relationship. But when we feel comfortable taking the vulnerable plunge, everyone can benefit. Embracing vulnerability can look different for everyone. Start by noticing how you behave at work, who you are. Notice too who you are at home. Are they the same person? Most probably not. Well, not entirely. Most people let themselves relax and be comfortable at home. So try and embrace similar principles at work. See if you can bring to work a version of yourself you wouldn't ordinarily do. Notice the impact for you and for others. Next, use that personality that you have, that rich, layered personality that you had for real conversation. People want to work with a human, not a robot. And most people are excited to talk about their personal lives and emotions, either good or bad. Having open, non-judgmental conversations fosters an environment of cohesiveness, of working together. And in your personal relationships at home, it does exactly the same. Both parties feel they can share issues, ideas, in a safe atmosphere. That emotion can also translate into a more formal sense, perhaps in presentations at work, or even in meetings at work. Don't be afraid to get invested and show emotion about a project or a report. But remember, it is about showing an appropriate degree of emotion. I call it being emotion-full. You might not always be successful and get the emotional intensity right, but what it does is encourages others to do the same, and you can improve morale and excitement, especially in the work environment. At home, it can have a profound effect on your connectivity with loved ones, including children and your partner. Vulnerability is still somewhat of a taboo in many workplaces. However, as we capitalize on our vulnerability, workplace environments can become more conducive to real connections, growth, and opportunities to increase trust and engagement and respect, which all are important factors for success. So here's an example of a client I recently worked with. He is a senior executive based in the US, and my intention was to help him recognize his conscious choices and see what he was doing when speaking. David runs a multi-million dollar IT systems firm in San Francisco. He's in his late 40s, extremely fit and healthy, and he never does anything by halves. A year before lockdown, we met. He ran the Marathon des Sables, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is 5 marathons in 5 days in the Sahara Desert. David wanted more from himself, so I helped him find the answers to what more can I do. Our work together had nothing to do with self-confidence. David oozed confidence out of every fiber of his being. People loved David. The conversation him and I had went something like this. David, why do you feel you need to act? And by the way, we were doing this one-to-one session in a Zoom environment. So I asked him that question. When I ask you to share your story from your past, you seem unconnected to the events you're talking about. You appear to be showing me. He responded with, I'm being me. Yes, you are, to an extent, but I don't believe you. What don't you believe? He said. You. What will you have me do then? It isn't do, David. It's feel. I want you to get clear on how you feel in the moment you are describing and live that emotion here now with me. I can't do that. It's too intense. It's inappropriate. And I said to him, well, for this Zoom interaction, it is appropriate because it's just me and you. But perhaps when it comes to your presentation, you do, maybe you can tailor that emotional intensity in the moment. But how will you know what emotional intensity to use if you don't know how far you can go here with me today? I asked him to focus his attention on his breathing and allow his feelings to appear, to be vulnerable. As long as you can still breathe a breath, you will be conscious of feelings and be able to let them go. You'll be able to choose feelings that serve you in the moment, that serve your intent, and this gives you a clarity of mind, not an eagerness to finish. David let go of his what next thinking and began to feel with detachment. Almost like, dare I say, Master Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi saying to Rey, breathe, reach out, and feel. I know, I'm a bit of a Star Wars geek. The act of mindful breathing erased his compulsive and addictive patterns of talking at breakneck speed, of rushing forward to the next thought, and allowing what he had said to have impact. This had a profound influence on what his audience believed him to be as they watched, in other words, me. This simple exercise fundamentally altered his understanding of what more he could be. Sometimes the best thing I've done is not think, not wonder or imagine, and certainly not obsess, but just breathe and believe that everything will work out as it should. Perhaps not as I might have wanted it to. This breathing exercise is intended to help you release nervous tension, be present, and experience your emotions without attachment. Integrating belly breathing will over time have an impact on your state of mind and your body and your well-being. You'll become more present, notice your emotions more often, create space to be vulnerable, or emotion-full, as I call it, and possess an authentic power no one can question. Here's the practice. As I say, I call it belly breathing. So sit comfortably or stand in a neutral position. I call that being centered. Start from the top of your head, moving your awareness slowly down through your body, noticing and releasing any tension. Lay one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest, so you start to notice where your breath is. When we sit or stand, our habit is to breathe in our chest. If you have trouble feeling the breath in the belly, imagine you're breathing through a straw. Try inhaling through your nose. You can also experiment with filling your entire lung capacity, breathing into both the belly and the chest. Imagine your inhalation is like filling a glass of water, beginning from the bottom, the lowest part of your belly, and filling up to the top of your chest. Once you've taken this very big breath in, try letting it out in a big sigh of relief. Finally, return to your regular breathing. Just notice the rise and fall of your belly with your breath. If you've ever watched a baby, he or she does this naturally. This is how we breathe as human beings when we are first here in this world. And then we begin to build barriers and preconceived ideas of what and perceptions of what we should look like and how we should act, how we should stand and how we should behave. And it affects our breathing, which affects our ability to be vulnerable. We all know that everything works out in the end. You don't need to know how. Just breathe and trust that it will. I didn't for so many years. And even recently going through a relationship breakup where I believed it was the one. And being ill in hospital with a heart condition, contracting a blood infection, and then COVID. I know allowing myself to feel the emotions at the time, using my breath, helps me to create space to move on in my time. I end up being the real me. Now, the best way I have become a natural belly breather is to undertake a daily practice. Since it's easiest to locate your belly breathing when lying down, take 2 minutes before you go to sleep at night and when you wake up in the morning doing the exercise that I've just talked you through. After a couple of weeks, you will notice yourself more naturally breathing this way as you go about your day. My vulnerability gave me confidence to share my truth.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership. Stay tuned for the next episode where I explore intention. I believe intention is the home in which we can live purposefully daily. It is the only real way to our authentic self. Life, Purpose, Leadership.